And welcome back, folks. You're locked into KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. It is 4:35 presently on a gorgeous day.
Beautiful.
In the Anchorage Bowl. And that voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is our special guest. We are very pleased to have with us once again Representative Eric Croft. Eric, good to see you.
Great to be here. And I guess Johnny's not going to be here. If he were, he'd be able to tell us who that was.
He's
the hippest old guy I know.
Yeah, who is this? Is this a Johnny request, JR?
This is the Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, sure.
This is I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. This is what we open up every week with 4:30
Arctic,
Friday.
Arctic Monkeys. Sure.
Are they from Salcha?
No. Okay. They're actually a British band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't like it as much now. All right, I lied, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, this just in, Senator Johnny Ellis has been abducted by aliens.
Yeah. And he's Republican aliens.
He's not going to be able to join us today, but we do have Representative Eric Croft. Eric, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Man, I don't know where to start. Let's.
Hasn't it been a fun week?
Oh, Lord. It's been a great week for Alaska's future in more ways than one.
Can we have another rim shot?
Let's start with what Channel 2 News is reporting. Governor Frank Murkowski apparently is going back on his word. He had promised on more than one occasion, as I recall, that he would not sidestep legislative approval regarding the gas pipeline proposal. He is now saying that because of you and your partners in crime, Guttenberg and Crawford, that he might just have to do that. He might have to sign through the contract without legislative approval, because if your gas reserves tax initiative passes, then there will be no gas pipeline, and
just,
we're all going to die.
Right. Raining frogs, your firstborn's going to be in danger and all that. He's buying the Exxon line, hook line, and sinker. And what's slowly happening is the facades are dropping down. I mean, we're beginning to see that Alaska's future is just this shell group for Exxon and the other oil companies. And you're beginning to see how much all the things that were happening in the legislature, that contract and all that, was about them not wanting to be taxed. Governor Murkowski said it a couple of times, and we thought it was true, that the real reason we were having those special sessions, the real reason they wanted this contract, which didn't require them to build a pipeline, but it did immunize them from the people. What Governor Murkowski wanted us to do is give away our sovereignty, give away our right to tax for the next 30 or 45 years, and in particular, take away from the people their initiative rights, including the right to vote on this. As the people start to understand more about this initiative, they like it better, and it becomes clearer they're going to pass it. Frank wants to steal that away from you as his last act. And it's just outrageous, the arrogance of that, but I guess we should expect it.
I think you had the quote of the day. You were quoted in the same Channel 2 News report. Did you really say this? He said, if he does this, I think Frank Murkowski will solidify his role as the worst governor we've ever had.
I said it, and I'm proud of it, yeah.
It's hard to imagine anything he could do that would solidify that role, but if there was something, then yeah, this might be it. 929-5160 is the telephone number here at the Aaron Selbig Show. Representative Eric Croft, one of the prime sponsors of Ballot Measure 2, the Reserves Gas Tax Initiative, or the Alaska Gas Line Now Act. Do you prefer that name?
Either way, the Reserves Tax is what it is. Gas Line Now is what it's going
to
do.
You will have the opportunity, Alaskans, to vote on it on November 7th. You've got another opportunity right now to get your questions answered. 929-5160, the telephone number. We go to line one now, where we're joined by Will. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Hey, just see the motorcycle go by. Well, Mr. Croft.
Hey, Will.
Hey, I hate to keep harping on this, but this is a product of a legislature that says that we don't deserve to have these companies make us an offer, even though it's our assets in public. And then at the same time, a legislature that continues to want to do business in some remote bar town. Now, Eric, take me on, dude. Kick my butt. Show me where I'm, like, wrong or shallow or something. Okay, it's a compound.
Is this about the capital move, Will? Let's cut to the chase.
Well, my point is, first of all, about the fact that they had this contract that should... I should watch TV at Exxon. ConocoPhillips should say to me, hey, we'd like to come on camera, be sworn in, and we'd like to make a proposal to build your pipelines, and we should watch them propose to you in an open media. There is no reason for this secrecy, this creme de la creme elite, just to negotiate behind the doors. because the public would just confuse it.
Will, we have a limited period of time here. You have brought this up before, the idea of having a plebiscite. What is your question for Eric Croft?
Well, I'm trying to get him to make grounds for why he'd want some legislative body in some remote bar town where we can't attend it. And then at the same time, this is the product of negotiating in secret. These people are the people who construct our society. Mr. Croft and his associates are our leaders, and they're supposed to represent us in an open manner. And this is the product. I'm just frustrated by it. I guess I should send you a check for therapy over the radio.
No, Will's right in his frustration. He does concentrate on that issue, but he's absolutely right. You have a government that is a third bot and mostly intimidated by these guys. They're running ads against me. I mean, there's about over $1 million of ads right now. We think it'll end up being $2 million. And a lot of the most recent ones for the last month have said my name. People ask, well, how come the other the three governor's candidates don't like it? Well, duh. I mean, what governor candidate wants to buy that kind of thing? Sarah Palin and Tony Knowles' budget for this whole race may be $1 million. You want to buy yourself $2 million of ads? He concentrates on moving the Capitol. Good on him. He's doing something to reform the system if he thinks he's going to do it. Well, Wait. I let you finish. I concentrated on campaign finance reform to get the big money that we've already seen in this Vico scandal out to the extent we could. There's state capitals all around this country, some in big cities, some in small, and I can't tell a difference in corruption between those that are located in the smaller parts or the bigger parts.
Here's the part, Eric, that really frustrates me is that I understand what it's like to just be frustrated and dead-ended about the things that are on the table. But I see such a bright opportunity for Alaska with the resources we have in the small community and the ability to network and have a medium of dissemination to be able to bring us up overnight on TV. All of the projects. There is a future. There is a legacy here for the people of Alaska to lead the next evolution of our society in a great structure with tremendous energy potential and new development and leadership. Most of them are young people. And yet, what have I got? I got like some people that I don't even know where they're at. They're like, duh. You know what I'm saying? These oil companies are the leaders in the world. Alaska is a leading country. And so I came here for rugged individualism, for people of individual free will and freedoms. And now I'm seeing New York bureaucracies. I'm seeing bureaucracies that are hiding out, circling their wagons. I'm seeing leaders that I don't even know they have the intellectual depth of two BBs rolling around an empty beer can or something. I mean, I want some vision. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be spending my time with trivial talk. I want to hear about concepts and ideas. Moving the state cap, yes, that's imperative. But what about we've got the bridge and we've got the gas pipeline. We've got new technology.
We got to focus, Will. We can only do – I appreciate where you're coming from, Will. I think there's a lot of folks – I know there's a lot of folks that listen to this show that feel a similar frustration that you feel about a wide variety of different things. But right now, this is what's on the table. Right now, this reserves tax is really the piece of steak that's on the table right now.
All right, if that's the case, then I'll quit being a hog on the radio here, and I apologize.
All right. You got one more question.
If that's the case, I'm in favor of the tax, and the reason I am, honorable men make an honorable presence with an honorable discussion. They don't live in fear and do bobbing and weaving and hiding out in this spin cloaking dialogue, which just sickens me. I think it's good if these oil companies are honorable with their intentions. They should come to the table on public TV and make their case under oath.
Right.
Period.
Will's right. You know, the bumper sticker that...
I'll get off of here, okay? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Will. Appreciate your call.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. Will's paying attention, and he's outraged, and he's absolutely right. That frustration is exactly what I felt sort of 4 or 5 years ago when I got into the legislature to make aggressive, positive change, and that wasn't what they were doing. They weren't debating the big issues. It wasn't even that I was, you know, not successful in my view on it. They just weren't dealing with the big issues. And so... after some frustration with that in the minority, I just thought, I'm going to quit being frustrated about it and start doing something about it. So we put and are going to continue to put the big solutions to the big problems on the table. And that's going to be controversial. It's going to lead to me being attacked. You know, it upsets big, powerful people with a lot of money. But we're going to do it. We got the right to elect our own U.S. senator, not have him appointed for him in a vacancy. We won that over the entire Republican power structure that wanted that stopped and retained in a Republican governor's hands. We won campaign finance reform overwhelmingly, and we're going to use the initiative process to stand up to the big oil companies and make them build the pipeline. Next, I want to do class size and real property tax relief, and we're just going to put progressive ideas on the table around the legislature.
You are the only politician in Alaska that I ever hear on a regular basis even utter the word progressive. I saw you give a speech once to a room full of Democrats in which you railed on that, making the Democratic Party more progressive. I just wanted to say you're the only one around here that I've ever heard do that, at least publicly, and I know it's appreciated by a lot of people. Speaking of progressives, we're a bunch of them here at this radio station, KUDO 1080 AM. We got to take a break here, 929-5160, the telephone number. If you've got a question or comment for Representative Eric Croft, I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. KUDO 1080 AM is the station, the Aaron Selbig Show on the air right now. We've got Representative Eric Croft in the studio with us, here to answer questions about the gas reserves tax and anything else under the sun. 929-5160, the telephone number. Let's go back to the phones right now to line two and to Mike, who's been waiting patiently. Mike, you're on the air with Eric Croft.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I had one comment and one question. The comment is about Proposition 2. I'm going to vote for it. What I don't understand is the oil company's argument that this is going to add to the cost of building a gas pipeline.
Yeah.
It's a tax. I mean, if I'm building a house and the government raises my taxes, that doesn't raise the cost of me building a house.
Right. Right.
You know?
It's economics 101, and it's one of the more frustrating parts of this thing. We'll have economists, Greg Erickson and others, to come out and say just that. Governor Murkowski raised severance taxes, I guess. We'll see how much we get on this PPT. But they claimed they raised it $1.2 billion. Again, I'm worried about the ability to define those profits and all that. But say they're right. Say that that did increase it $1.2 billion. Well, did that increase the cost of this pipeline by 1.2 a year, 10 years, 12 billion bucks? I mean, no.
You know, it's like saying, I don't like my taxes, so I'm going to quit my job. You know,
so you don't have to pay taxes anymore.
Right.
Good
idea. I mean, that's really the argument they're making is, you know, if you're going to tax me, I'm going to move out of here.
Well,
that's like, you know.
As long as they leave the gas, that's fine.
If Anchorage put a 2% tax on sales tax, would you move out if you had a $300,000 house? No, wouldn't make any sense.
We just
corporations don't like to pay taxes, and you know they need to get used to it. We have to pay our taxes.
Well, and it's the first tax in since we did it in the 70s, but one of the few ones where they get all the money back if they produce this gas. I mean, all I want them to do is break that stranglehold they have on the North Slope and on our clean burning natural gas.
You know, this is a similar argument we got, I think, during the argument over the cruise ship tax initiative, which also passed, that we're hurting the cruise ship industry. They're not going to come into our Southeast Alaska ports as much, and we're competing with Mexico. That was my favorite one. Alaska tourism's competing with Mexico and the Caribbean. I still haven't put that one together. But we'll see if that happens. We'll see next summer if the cruise ships come back. I have a feeling they might.
And now to my question.
Sure, go ahead, Mike.
I've been listening all about ballot measure number two, but to tell you the truth, I trust what I hear from Eric Croft. So I want to know, how does he feel about Proposition 1? Is it a good idea or not a good idea to shorten the legislative session?
Yeah, I'm going to vote for
Thanks,
ballot.
Mike.
Yeah, appreciate it, Mike. And, hey, I love you trusting me. I love you voting for ballot measure two, but I don't want you trusting any politicians. Go out, read for yourself. I want you to do based on your own opinion. But I appreciate your trusting me, but go and find out for yourself. I'm going to vote for it and urge people to vote for both of them. I think we can do our business in 90 days. There's a lot of wasted time in the session. I think it'll make it easier to get a better caliber of people. You know, that 30 days can make a big difference between a 120 days is a move. 90 days can be a sort of long trip, and you can, I think, get people who can do that as real part-time legislators. Much, much less than that, 60 or 30 years. I think you really do start to diminish, to change the sort of balance of power. But I think we can do it in 90 days, and I think you can get a better caliber of people doing it.
4:53 in the Anchorage Bowl. Representative Eric Croft, our guest on the Aaron Selbig Show. If you've got a question or comment for him, our phone lines are open at 929-5160. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back on the other side. And welcome back, folks. Eric Croft, our guest in the studio. We've been
keys again, or
and was that the what is that one? That's just a random bumper.
Okay.
We don't know where that one fell from space. We're not entirely
I got
sure.
Some good stuff coming up after the 5 o'clock
awesome.
Hour.
So.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Friday afternoon music, so you can headbang in the car on the way home from work. All right, back to business. Gas reserves tax, the topic. We did the number crunching. $1.5 million. $1.3 million so far that has been raised by. Right. Three different groups, ConocoPhillips, the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, and whatever Alaska's future is calling themselves this week, I'm not even sure. I think it's Superhero Happy Fun Time Land or something like that. $1.3 million, what are you going to do? How can you fight against that?
It'll break two and maybe $2.5 million by the time it's all over.
They're even advertising on the People Mover bus.
I know. I have to sit behind them. Look, of course they're going to fight any attempt by Alaska to stand up on its own two feet and establish its own natural resource policy. They're going to threaten. They're going to cajole. They're going to buy politicians, and they're going to put a bunch of misleading ads on. It's a David and Goliath deal. I don't have that kind of money. But the important thing to remember about David and Goliath is David won. You know,
you need a slingshot.
There, okay.
Uh-huh. Well, now, what about advertising? Did you search the couch cushions for change, or have you gone and gone panhandling downtown or anything to raise some money? Are you going to be able to at least counter a little bit with maybe some radio ads, TV spot or two, something?
We hope so. We hope to raise from individual Alaskans, 10, 15, even if you cross your fingers, as much as $20,000. Put on some radio. Probably not enough money to do much television. But the main way we're going to counter it is I've been going out to rotaries and speaking at chambers and answering my emails. We have a website, AlaskaGaslineNow.org. We put up stuff. We're going to put up some more materials there. So we're going to have a true grassroots Alaskan response to this outside corporate blizzard of money. And it's mainly Exxon, and that's what Alaska's Future, which sold itself a year ago as, you know, this group of young Alaskans. If you look at their logo, it's this great picture of a bunch of cute kids in different adult employment-like suits. So there's a fireman and there's a nurse, you know, a little girl and a
nurse.
It's
like the Village People.
Well, but in 5-year-olds. And, you know, and it was sold as a bunch of young Alaskans who, like, broke their piggy bank and saved up their newspaper money to run all these slick TV ads, right? And it was just bull from the beginning. But we had so much trouble proving that, and finally it's just fallen down.
We're going to talk about that after Air America News at the top of the hour. Of course, we've been talking about it all week. The ex-president, who hasn't been paid by Alaska's Future, defected, blew the whistle on him earlier this week, said, you know what, the whole thing was cooked up by Art Hackney and the oil companies. We'll get into that whole story. Pretty funny stuff. After Air America News, coming up right now on Kudo 1080 AM. We're getting down on a Friday afternoon. That couldn't have sounded whiter. Here in a beautiful day in the Anchorage Bowl, 5:35 p.m. on KUDO 1080 a.m., your progressive voice in Anchorage. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. We are joined in the studio with Representative Eric Croft. Eric is going to stick around with us probably right on through the end of the show. Why not? We're getting lots of calls. 929-5160 if you've got a question or comment for him. Eric, a little earlier in the show, we were talking about the brouhaha over whatever Alaska's Future is calling themselves this week. I find it hard to keep up with. And this is one of those duh moments. This is one of those, the other day when this finally came out and the former director of Alaska's Future said, yeah, you know what? I haven't gotten my paycheck, so here's the deal. He went to the Associated Press with all the documents, emails, et cetera, and said, there is no membership list. The company was a front to hide the support of the big three oil companies. There it is. Boom. It's out on the table. And I kind of wanted to say I told you so. Because, yeah. But it was kind of...
Well, had been saying it.
I said it for a long time, but it was kind of like, well, duh. You know, I mean, and Kristen said that. Kristen, our caller from Kenai, said that before the last break.
We
that
knew it.
Alaskans just kind of intuitively know, I think, or just know when outside money or when oil money is making its way into advertising to fight something they don't like. It happens every election cycle. We just kind of know. Now, whether we are willing to take that to the next step and to be angry enough to do something about it or at least to ignore it remains to be seen. But at least now we know. You have been fighting this fight with AIPAC to get Alaska's future. This group that's been putting out some of these advertising, some of this advertising against your ballot initiative, to say where they got their money from. Where does it stand now? Do you think AIPAC's going to slap them on the wrist or what?
Well, I hope so, but it was very close. We probably would have lost if it hadn't been for the good reporting, Matt Voles of the Associated Press. We're going to have a new hearing on Tuesday. They held it over. The staff had recommended that. That they don't have to disclose, and on some really shaky logic, but we have a lot of the commissioners asking really good questions, wanting to talk about it. It's one of those things where, you know, you do all you can, you try, you sort of go home at night and think, well, maybe I've lost this one, and then I got that call from the Associated Press saying, we're going to run a story in the morning where the former director says it was all a sham, and you just think,
sweet.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Why can't that happen on every issue?
I was home, you know, just running some errands and doing some things at home and danced around. Yeah, Alaskans are savvy consumers. They suspected, but there's a difference between suspecting and knowing. And as I said, this group fronted itself and lied to Alaskans about who they were. They had pictures of children. They talked about themselves as young Alaskans concerned about the economy, and they made it seem like they busted their piggy banks. And it was just bull from the beginning. It was Exxon trying to get you to give away a bunch of your resources for cheap. And
now,
it's always been that.
Now, Art Hackney, the political consultant that was kind of the impetus behind this thing, or at least the major funnel for the oil companies, he's gone out and forged a new group, Alaska First. We're doing everything we can to make sure that everybody knows when they see those TV commercials, you know where that money comes from, folks. It comes from the oil companies. $400,000 of their $650,000 budget so far has come from Exxon. The rest of it, $250,000, came from ConocoPhillips. Mm-hmm. At least they're being honest about it, though. At least now they're finally saying, "Ah, well, okay, so we're a front for the oil companies. So what?"
Alaska First equals Exxon. If I was going to do any bumper sticker now, it would be that. Vote yes on two. Alaska First equals Exxon. If you like what Exxon did with the fishermen, if you like what we've done over the last 20 years with bought politicians and no progress, then we can just keep doing the same thing. But I think we need to do something different. And I'm tired. You know, when Exxon says, well, or Alaska First or Alaska Future or AOGA, well, this will end up in litigation. Well, nothing ends up in litigation. You know, people sue. What they mean is Exxon's going to sue us if we stand up on our rights, if we try and get a fair value for our resource. And coming from a company that's been dragging our fishermen through 17 years of litigation, that just pisses me off, frankly. We constructed this this initiative so that it would have some protection so we didn't get in that same Exxon Valdez suit. In the Exxon Valdez litigation, they owe 6% a year on the money they owe the fishermen. That's what they have to pay in post-judgment interest. Well, they make more than that, so they make money by delay. What we said, and it was actually Wally Hickel's idea, if they litigate this, which they might, okay, fine. Put the disputed amount, the $1 billion, in the bank. Some lucky bank in Anchorage is going to get $900 million deposit, and it sits there building interest. Because you know what? They can't spend that money on Indonesian gas or Russian gas, on Qatar. They can't spend it on our competitors. And every year, if you want to do that, fine, we'll put it in there. Because pretty soon, Exxon, we're going to have enough in the bank when we win to do this gas line without you. And that's what I eventually want. In addition, I didn't want government spending it when it was up for litigation. I've seen that happen. And so we're going to segregate it. We're going to fight it out. And if we win, we can just do this right around you.
And that's an important thing that people should know before they go to vote on this, is this money will be set aside like that. This money will be put into escrow. Is that what you're doing with it?
Yeah.
Okay, 5:40 in the Anchorage Bowl. We've got callers, 929-5160, the telephone number. If you'd like to jump into the conversation with Representative Eric Croft, let's go to line one now and to Caroline, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Caroline. You're on the line with Eric Croft.
Good afternoon, Aaron. And I want to thank you and JR for the work you're doing getting everyone into these different issues. Eric, you and I have spoken about this on several occasions. I feel it a great sadness when I see Art Hackney and what he's doing, because I knew his father, Glenn, and it just amazes me what you're doing for the state versus what he's doing to the state. It's an astounding difference in what people's take is on on the benefit of the state they grew up in and the people that they should have a sense of loyalty to.
Thank you, anyway,
everything that you're doing, I certainly applaud, of course, and I really want people to hear what you're saying about the fact that Exxon is not going to, or any of them are not going to be able to take the money and drag it out and have us settle for 10 cents on the dollar for that Alyeska suit that dragged on for 15 years. Yes, they can drag on, but if things are structured in such a manner, it's going to cost them.
Yeah.
They're not going to come away 9 cents richer out of 10. But one thing which I think, you know, if you could address real quickly, it's not exactly off subject, because from the standpoint of getting honesty into politics, I think Arizona and Maine are two states that have set up a process whereby if you agree to take the money, if you agree to forego private money, you are able to get money to run on. Do you know anything about that?
Clean elections is what it's called in Arizona, which is really surprising. I'm from Arizona. Arizona, a very conservative state. They've gone to clean elections where politicians sign up for this, publicly funded campaigns, basically. It's something that we've talked about with Steve Cleary from ACBURG. He's a supporter, thinks that it might be a good step for Alaska to take and might be something that's popular with Alaska voters. Are you familiar with the concept?
Yeah, and you even listened way back when you had Steve on, and you guys were talking about maybe where would the money come from, and a tax of, you know, so many attacks on candidates, if you will, attacks on politicians, which would be great. Usually it's the other way around. Politicians passing taxes on us. If you did one that says if you raise $100,000, you put 10 of it into the pot for it. I think what Arizona's doing is really interesting, and we did a partial step, and when we were writing the campaign finance reform initiative, we had this debate about whether we sort of went for the whole thing or just tried to fix what they'd broken, ended up sort of taking the smaller bite, but I'm really interested in it. And Caroline brought up a point. You know, I have to run around in this next 3 weeks correcting the lies that they say about this. They've sort of got two major arguments. One is, nobody has ever done this ever before. Nobody does this. And that's a current radio ad that, you know, I don't know of any state that does this. And then they talk about Kentucky did it and got into a lot of trouble. And and I wish they'd at least decide, which it was, that there were people who did it and hated it, or people who'd never, ever, ever done it, and this is a totally new idea. In fact, we did it before in 1975, worked fine for us, never got litigated, but everyone assumed it was constitutional when we did it before, and it was. Kentucky was actually a different situation. They have a constitutional provision that says all property must be taxed at its value. And what kept happening is the legislature kept trying to exclude the coal leases because they got, you know, influence from the coal, big coal companies. And homeowners had to sue to say, wait a minute, every time you do that, it costs us money because we have to make up the tab. And really, it wasn't 12 years of litigation. It was 12 years of influence buying. I mean, they would do it. The legislature would do it. They'd exempt these big coal companies like we do oil companies. And somebody would have to sue, and the courts would say, yeah, you can't do that. And then they'd try it again. So it was 12 years of a corrupt legislature, not really 12 years of litigation.
Thanks a lot, Caroline. Thanks for the call.
Could I say one more quick thing?
Sure, real fast.
I think it's ludicrous of us to think that the legislature works for us unless we set up a way to put in honest funding for our legislators.
Yeah, I
support that, Caroline, as well. I think it's a fantastic idea. If a place like Arizona can do it, then certainly Alaska can as well.
Thanks.
All right, it is 5:45 in the Anchorage Bowl. Representative Eric Croft's going to stick around with us. 929-5160, the telephone number. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, I am your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. And welcome back, folks. Just about 10 minutes left in the big show. Democracy Now!, sponsored locally by the law offices of Dennis Maloney, coming up after us. It's always a privilege and an honor to precede the fine work done by Amy Goodman at Democracy Now! Right now, we are joined in the studio by Representative Eric Croft, and we've got callers on the line. Let's jump right in. Let's go to line one, where we're joined by Roy. Roy, you're on the air with Eric Croft.
Yes, Eric. I get a really, a laugh out of the scare tactics. And I've had people that go, well, gosh, if we pass number two, then
Well, the problem is they're going to go somewhere else. And I said, well, where are they going to go?
Somewhere more friendly, like Bolivia.
Well, they'll develop Indonesia. I go, really, with a Muslim revolution about to break out through most of the third world? There goes Indonesia. There goes Baku. There goes Uzbekistan. There goes all of the Middle East. And you think, I mean, what's left? Venezuela? Hello? They're not really, you know, our friends now.
Well, they...
where are they going to go? All of the places where they're going to develop oil are going to be involved in World War III, which has already started. So a native oil opportunity and gas opportunity is going to be something that the oil companies are going to jump on.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, where are they going to go? Well, what's happening in the world? Wake up, Alaskans. Wake up!
Yes, all right, Roy.
Let's smell the coffee. You know, how many times, it's like the woman that gets beat, oh, he's a nice man. He just has problems.
JR, I think...
He promised to get some therapy. We're going to go to counseling in a couple years. He says he will. He says he will.
Don't stop
you know?
Him. He's on a roll.
I'm not going to. Yeah. You just keep going. JR, I think we have a new guest host for when I'm on vacation. This guy's got a passion. Thanks, Roy. Absolutely wonderful. I'm not sure what the question was, other than he's right. You know, you keep hearing this threat, this black cloud overhead. If we ignorant Alaskans pass ballot measure 2 on November 7th, then the oil companies are going to leave for friendlier climes.
Right. They
Where?
Can't afford it. They're
Where are they going to go?
They're here because of the oil. We want to have a system that's competitive, that is, that leaves them a fair rate of return, that respects their rights, but that demands that they fulfill their part of the bargain, that they produce, that they clean their lines and don't spill on our tundra, and that they produce the gas that we've been waiting for 20 years. I want us to have them up here, have a competitive environment, but I'm not going to be intimidated, I'm not going to be threatened. And I am going to hold them to a high standard. And I am going to make sure we get a fair share for the people of the state of Alaska. It's just good business.
We're going to take a break here, our final break. When we come back, we've got Scott on the line, our resident dissenter to the dissent. He's got a comment or a question. We'll find out which for Eric Croft. We'll be right back with more of the Aaron Selbig Show.
Well, I want you to think about King Crab Legs. Right now, New Sagaya and City Market have an incredible special on jumbo red King Crab clusters. Just the legs and claws, the parts you like best, and they're just $9.98 a pound. And that is a wonderful price for Alaska's signature delicacy. So easy to heat in the microwave and serve, you really ought to try it. You've been looking for something you could do with that microwave anyway. You may not be aware that New Sagaya and City Market have free-range chicken in the butcher shops. That's right, totally natural, free-range chicken, and it's special this week at New Sagaya and City Market. Old fryers, just $1.99 a pound, though for all the folks who believe that naturally grown chickens are healthier and taste better than those pumped up with hormones and steroids, New Sagaya is featuring the free-range chicken fryers, just $1.99 a pound, right now, New Sagaya and City Market. Best fruit this time of year is the big bunches of Red Globe grapes. They are sweet and juicy, and at New Sagaya and City Market, they're just $1.99 a pound. Fill up your gunny sack. They're so good, they go fast. New Sagaya Midtown and City Market, 13th and I.
Hello, neighbor. Dan Apted here from Custom CPU. I'd like to offer you something that nobody else offers. Now, I know that most of you have computers, and I know that many of those computers are obstinate old things that quit or freeze up or reboot at the most inconvenient of times. They have spyware or viruses or pop-ups, or maybe it's just something that you're doing wrong. The reason you live with it is because you think it's going to cost a lot to fix, and you might be right. Now, I might get into trouble, but I'll tell you a little secret. Oftentimes, it doesn't take much time at all for our experts to find and cure the problem. Now, here's what I'm going to do. You bring your computer to Custom CPU, and if we can fix it in the first 5 to 10 minutes, it's free. That's right. We can often get you in and out the door with a repaired computer for free. You need to bring your computer to Custom CPU. We're at 1515 East Tudor Road in Anchorage. That's just across Tudor Road from the old Tony Roma's. Or call us at 277-6969. Or if you happen to be in Soldotna, you can call us there at 262-1200. Come to Custom CPU. Your next computer repair could be free.
Please stand up. Welcome back, folks. We've just got a couple of minutes left in the show. We want to remind you real fast, don't forget on Monday's show, former Governor Tony Knowles, we should probably say gubernatorial candidate Tony Knowles, will be with us.
Governor, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be with us as part of our candidate forum on Monday. Right now we've got Representative Eric Croft and we've got Scott on the line. Eric, brace yourself.
Here we go.
We go to line one. Scott, have you been taking your medication today?
You know, I like to think of myself as someone who speaks truth to progressives.
Okay.
And I, like, and Representative Croft, you know, I haven't quite made up my mind on the tax yet. I'm still thinking about it, and I'm trying to take in all the information.
Good.
I'm leaning towards the tax, but I have a question for you. Actually, I have a problem with something you said earlier in the show.
Quick, Scott. We've only got 2 minutes.
I'll make it very quick. The problem that I have with you, Eric Croft, is that you make these flat accusations.
There
you,
it
you
is,
said
Scott.
It doesn't matter. You said you don't care whether there's a conviction or not. There are people taking bribes in Juneau. All I'm saying
you're
is
you're back.
Have
I've been
some
wanting
guts.
To talk
have
to you.
Some guts and tell me who.
It was
Name
you,
one.
Scott.
Okay, Scott.
Name one.
Let him answer the question.
I was just saying at the break, boy, I hope that's the guy I think it is who a couple of years ago or a year ago, whenever it was when we talked last, Scott, and I said there is corruption in Juneau and it does happen and I don't see the bags being passed, but I see the consequences. And it was you who said, name me names.
Name one.
How am I going to do that?
It's very easy. Just say the name.
Okay.
I don't see the
it's
paper bags being passed.
So you're lying when you say there's corruption.
Scott, the FBI is investigating the legislature.
I haven't seen anybody been charged.
Bill Allen was passing notes to Tom Anderson on the floor of the House during the PPT vote. Doesn't that seem a trifle suspicious to you, Scott?
What do you need, Scott?
All I want you to do is name one guy.
I'm not the FBI. I'm not a policeman.
But you say there's corruption, but you refuse to say who it is. It's politicians like you.
Most politicians deny there's corruption and say we're all fine. I'm telling you what's going on.
We got to get out of here. Scott, sorry, Eric. He always calls in with like 10 seconds left left in the show. He's got to get the last word, but instead we're going to have it. All right, we got
to
get out of here.
Fun way to end, anyway.
It sure is. Thanks a lot, Eric. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Tony Knowles on Monday. Don't forget.